हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 70, Bhagavatam verse reference, 4.11.17. My dear Dhruva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. He is the remote cause of the creation of this material cosmic manifestation. When he gives the impetus, many other causes and effects are produced, and thus the whole universe moves, just as iron moves by the integrated force of a magnet. Right? It means the magnet's not touching the iron, right? It has nothing to do with the iron, but it still moves the iron, right? So that's what's happening. Yeah. So this is bringing out that he's there, but he's the remote cause, right? So that he's not affected by these things. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:4-4. Sri Drumila said, anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord has the intelligence of a foolish child. Even if a great genius could somehow or another, after a time consuming endeavor, count all the particles of dust on the surface of the earth, such a genius could never count the attractive qualities of the Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all potencies. When the primeval Lord Narayana created his material body, his universal body, out of the five elements, produced from himself, and then entered within that universal body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha. Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power, and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And thus, the universe was created, is created, maintained, and annihilated. Footnote 32. When a conditioned soul becomes completely exhausted by his strenuous activities, or when he is overcome by disease, death, or fear, he loses all power to manifest practical knowledge or activities. Thus, we should understand that independent of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can neither work nor cultivate knowledge. And so it's only because of his involvement that these things are going on. But because they go on so seamlessly, and he is hidden, right? Therefore, we think we're doing all this and it's going on nice. But at the same time, we're bewildered when we can't do it. And we're frustrated when we can't. But the point is, if we're the cause of it, why are we frustrated? You know, that's the whole point, because we're not the source of it.
But the logic goes, we are liberated after initiation, though we don't feel it.
Yes.
If we say the same logic applies here, we could have been doing that, but we just don't know that.
It means if you surrender to that the devotional process, then one can act on that liberated platform. Because the soul's already liberated. It's not that by initiation you're liberated. You're already. It's just you made aware of your actual position. And in that case, then you're liberated, because now you're not bound by the conditioned consciousness that you don't know about the Lord. So you're free from that. Because the actual freedom means that you're not involved on the material platform. Right? So we may keep some attachments of that, but our situation is not. Just like the natural situation of the soul is the liberated platform, but we're not recognizing that. So with initiation, then one is situated on that platform, even though one may not always act in that way. Right? So it's just a matter of, that's the practice, that's the association, then we start to actually function in that capacity. Okay. Well.
The logic was that in the same way, we can say that we are the cause of all that, we just don't know that.
No, but it never, the Shastra never says that we are the cause. The Shastra does say the soul is always liberated. It's only polluted consciousness makes them think that they're not, because they want to not think that way. They want to identify separate from the Lord. So the Shastra say that. Shastra never says that they are doing it. Is that, yeah.
After initiation, still the conditioned nature seems to be...
That's the wrong question. That's a question on the example. In fact, it's a question on her question. You know what I'm saying? Though it's... understand, these are nice questions. So if this is a question and answer program, then that's a very good question. Or... if it's, discussing Bhagavad Gita or, the beginning, then it's okay. But we have to remember this is, on Vedanta Sutra, what we're trying to discuss is that understanding how Krishna is beyond everything, but at the same time he's controlling. Everything's coming from him. He's controlling it, but at the same time, he's aloof from that. That's the question. So if you have a question on that, then go ahead. But if it's a question on how, why you're not the controller and enjoyer of the material world, and what can we do about that, then this is the wrong point. Okay? Like that. Does that make sense? So it's not a bad question, it's just the wrong question for this discussion. Okay. By the mercy of the personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul acquires a material body, which is a perverted reflection of the unlimited spiritual body of the Lord. Right? Because the Lord's body has that unlimited and all good quality. So this is a perverted form of that. Because that's what the living entity wants. Because then there's the question, that question before that the Shankyites bring up is that if all this goes back into the Lord, then all these bad qualities go back into the Lord. But the point is he has potencies that deal with these bad qualities. So they're just part of that. But those qualities are dealt with by his superior energies. So he's unaffected by those. Just like, how you say the mayor of the city is unaffected by, the people in the jail. He's the one that's involved, that it's under his authority, or the governor, for the state prisons and things like that, does that make sense? So, but they're unaffected. So in the same way, just because those are there, that's only because we're like that. We want. So by the Lord's mercy, we acquire that because we have a polluted consciousness. Because of that polluted consciousness, we want to act in a particular way. To do that, we need a body. So it's by the Lord's mercy that we get that body.
Yeah. When we say that the Lord is not affected, that was the proof.
Yes.
When the conditioned living entities and Mahavishnu breathes in, and all the conditioned living entities go back to him, mm-hmm. What prevents all their karmas and whole ego to affect the Lord?
Why would it? It's their consciousness, because we're covered by ignorance. He's never covered by ignorance.
So, can we say that we don't mix with him in this sense?
But why would we mix if we're individual entities and he's an individual person? Why would it? It's like the green bird and the green tree. Do we see when the green bird goes into the green tree, then the tree starts, you know, yeah, moving the branches start moving, the tree flies off. Huh?
That would be freaky.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, can we compare with the sun? It's always pure.
Yes, that's a good example. The sun always pure. You know, it seems to be in contact, but it's purified. The sun never becomes impure. Like that, because he's beyond. He's the source of the energy. See, we're dependent. That's why we come up with these things. Why the confusion is there is because we're trying to compare everything to us. And so we're dependent. We're affected. But he's not dependent. He's not affected. Is that what you mean? So that's the point, is he's beyond what we know. We're trying to keep it within the context of our experience. But actually, he's beyond our experience. That's why it's only if he reveals, then we can actually understand. Thus, the living entity engages in ignorant, materialistic activities for society, friendship, and love. But the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Similarly, our material knowledge is always subject to become null and void within an instant, since the material nature is itself constantly changing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the prime mover behind the birth, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. And the living entity should try to understand that Personality of Godhead who has given him so much facility for illusion. Because we want that, so he gives that facility, just out of his kindness. Right? Because we may say, why does he do that, and this is not good, but you're talking about illusion. And so since when does illusion have any value or meaning or substance anyway? You know? Does that make sense? It's like the child that... The child is sitting there with all the adults eating. The adults put something on their food. The kid wants it also. The kid doesn't require it. In fact, especially it's when, you know, the uncle wants more chili powder. Or, you know. So then if you say no, then what happens? It's a scene. But if you just go, okay, just go like this. Don't grab anything. Just go like this. They're happy. So is there a problem? Oh, why is my mom giving me chili? Even though I want it, why is she giving? And then if she doesn't, you know, like that, we're saying, you know, why would he give me all these bad things, you know, I don't want, and this and that. Just, you know, why doesn't he give pure devotion? If everything's going great, you know, we're down at the French Riviera on a yacht, you know, like that, with all kinds of celebrities, and it's all happening, and everybody's respecting us, then are we going, God, why are you doing this? It's so distracting. You know, when am I going to chant my rounds? You know? Right? Yeah, so therefore, we can see is that we're not looking at it from a balanced point of view. So he is Atmarama, he has nothing to gain from it. We want it, okay, you can have it. You know, but you have to qualify. That's why it says here, that just in a moment, time of death, everything's lost. Whatever knowledge you have, this, that, when you're born, next life, you don't have that knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's that when you take birth next time, you know, we do not have any historical accounts of anyone being like Stewie. Right? So therefore, no one's a genius at 1 year old. Right? Yeah? So, therefore, then they have to go to school. They may have an inkling. So, what will happen is let's say someone was very much into science. So, in the next life, they'll be put into, and they, you know, dealt nicely and all. Then they'll be put in a situation where they'll be easily exposed to science. Maybe the parents are scientists or, you know, something or whatever it is. And so then when the opportunity comes up, then Krishna will give the opportunity for you to take advantage of learning science. And then according to your effort, all this, then you gain. And then when you die, it'll be lost again. You know, it's like Prabhupada mentioning with Ravi Shankar. He's been playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes. But each lifetime he has to learn from the beginning. Right? So many sense. But they can do. Could you imagine actually sitting down and taking formal sitar lessons at 3 years old? No, not at all. Like that. But you know, another sitar player, Nikhil Banerjee, who was actually better than Ravi Shankar. Not more famous, but he was just a more, you know, the not technically better, just his mood was more expressed. Right? So then he would always go and play with the sitar. His father was a sitar player. And he would tell him no. And that he can't touch it and all this. So this has been going on. So it means it's been going on before he's three. Like that. And so one day his father went out for something. You know, probably went down to the market to get some sabji or something. So then he saw the opportunity. He went over, you know, closed the door, put a chair in front of the door, you know, got the sitar and started playing on it. Right? And so then his father comes home, hears the sitar playing, you know, he has to, you know, says, you know, it won't be that much trouble getting room. How well could the 3-year-old lock the door? So he comes in and says, okay, you want to play the sitar then from today? Formal lessons every day. And formal lessons generally mean 2 hours. That's the traditional. It's just 2 hours straight. It's not sitting and talking and let's try this or that. It's just they play, you play. You play, you play. And you have to keep the pace, you know, so it's very intense. And then you're supposed to practice for another 4 hours. If you don't do 6 hours a day, you can't become professional. Like that. And when you become more mature, that's in South and North, they want you to do 10. So he used to practice as an adult as 12 hours a day. Standard. No matter where, he was traveling like that, he's doing a concert somewhere, he's still practicing 10, 12 hours a day. So from 3, he's doing that. So where does that come from? And why is it he can learn? That's Krishna's mercy. Because otherwise, so many other people want to learn sitar, you know, they heard, George Harrison playing sitar for that, you know, one album, and then they think they want to do, and how many are good? Right? Heard any big Western names in sitar? No. Yeah, so that's the problem. So that's the whole point, is Krishna's mercy, that anything that we're good at, that's coming by His grace. So you get the body, the senses, everything that goes along with that, so that you can use it in Krishna's service, that's then what's happening. So he's just very kind because that's what we want. Right? So that's the whole thing. So it's coming from him. It's his universal form. It's already there. It already has that expertise. It already has that perfection. It's just a matter of how much we take part in the activities of the universal form. They're all there at once. It's just a matter of whatever is your particular combination. You know, it's like a buffet, what exactly you put on the plate, in what order and what volume and what proportion and, you know, how many plates and, you know, like the whole thing. Yeah, actually be an advantage if you had gone to a school for waiters, then you know how to put so many plates up your arm, and so then you could fill them all up and then go back, you know, 6 plates. And yeah, because the rule is how much you can carry. So if you can carry 6 plates, then... It's the letter of the law, not necessarily the spirit. Right? But, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? So he's the one that expands as all these things, as the universal form. We can take part in that. Does that make sense?
Okay. There is always, the Prabhupada is always mentioning together, society, friendship, and love.
Yes, yes. The Acharyas mentioned that. I think it comes from Vishwanath. What the original words are, I'm not sure, you know? Society, friendship, and love.
Which means that, what is the connection?
It means that that's what all living entities are looking for. Right? Which society they'll work in, what friendships they'll have, and then affection that will be there. It doesn't matter where you are, that's always what you want. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but the point is it's material. Right? That's the difficulty. That's why the problem is there. The society, friendship, and love is not a problem if it's in connection with Krishna.
the spiritual world.
Yeah, so they also do that. It means we see, we're reading about the Brajbasis and Dwarkavasis. Now, the Dwarkavasis are quite happy in Dwarka. The Brajbasis aren't. Not that they can't come and visit, but they'll go back to Vrindavan. At the same time as that, those who come from Dwarka go back, they go back also to their place. So that's their society. Within that, they have their friendships and they have their affection. But here in the spiritual, then affection for Krishna. The friendships with all the devotees, the loves with Krishna, the friendships with all the devotees, and the situation, the society they're in, is the particular flavor that is there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, why does somebody prefer to live in northern France, or someone prefers to live in southern France? Right? You know, the north, the high energy, the professionalism, this and that. The south, because of the personal, the nice, the natural, the country, like that. So it's just which society they like to be in. Then within that, you have friends, and then along with that, you have love. So there it's with Krishna, here it's with who we figure is our, how you say, you know, eternal partner.
So we do the same thing actually in this country. We do the same thing.
That's the whole point, is that what's the difference between the spiritual world and material world is not in what you're doing, in principle. But it's whether it's connected to Krishna or not. You know, in a favorable way. In other words, if it's in pure devotion, that's the spiritual world. Because even in the material world, if it's connected to Krishna, but it's not about devotion, then that's your most pious. Like you see, Brahma, the Prajapatis, the great sages, even the demigods, they all accept the supremacy of Krishna. Now, whether they care about that or not, it's another thing, but they all accept. You know, just like the Hamsa Guhya prayers of Daksha. We know he's a full-on, you know, he is the Karmakandi Brahman, right? He is the prototype. Everybody else is following in his footsteps, right? But you see, he knows Krishna is the supreme. He has the knowledge and all that. But what he wants from the Lord is the ability to perform his duties within the Karmakanda. Now, being a Prajapati, it's not about the sense gratification. It's about attachment to following the rules and getting that benefit. So he's extremely pious. But from the aspect of karma. While his brothers and the Kumaras, they're extremely pious from the point of jnana. They're totally renounced. They don't even wear clothes. You know, it's like other than might wear a kopan. They don't wear anything. Right? You know, they don't even bother growing up. You know, it's like that. You know, so therefore all the followers of Peter Pan and all that follow in their footsteps. You know, so does that make sense? The only problem is they don't need to go to a school. They run schools like that. So that's, you know, yeah, I don't want to grow up. I just want to run a school. No, I don't think it would. Yeah. Is that? Yeah, we're good? Love it when you give these references and no one knows what you're talking about. Yeah, not. Okay.
Peter Pan is good.
Yeah, I'm saying a few know, but then it will say something else and then they know, like yesterday. With the, yes. Still don't know what we're talking about. Nope. Okay. The personality of Godhead actually wants the conditioned soul to surrender to him and to regain an eternal life of bliss and knowledge at the Lord's side. That's what Krishna wants. Otherwise, why does he create this? But he comes along with. Right? So if it's bad, he's in that situation also. Means whatever bad situation the living entity's in, the Lord's in the same situation. He's sitting in your heart. So it's not that he's sitting in a different, you know, situation. So, yeah. The conditioned soul should reason, if the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely he'll give even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow his direction without foolish speculations. And so then it's just a matter, as the acharyas give, that's then how we try to understand it. Right? So it says, without foolish speculations. doesn't mean that we don't apply the principle of Anuman to try to understand what is being said by the scripture, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, into our situation. But we don't speculate, you know, foolishly. It's there, said Krishna said this, how does that apply? Not that I don't see how it applies, so it doesn't apply. That's foolish. This verse describes Garbhodakshay Vishnu, right? Because he's the one that's the universal form. In that way, he's the Paramatma. He's the Paramatma of the universe. Right? But then Kiradaksha will be the Paramatma of each individual living entity. So when it talks about Paramatma, it can be talking about either of them. Generally, you're not talking about Karanadakshay Vishnu as the Paramatma of the Mahatattva. Right? But if we're talking primary creation, then that's what we're talking about. Because this universal form is just the aspect of the universal form, of the primary creation that's within this universe. Right? The whole primary creation, that's Mahavishnu. Then when that primary creation is put into one universe, that is expanded by Karanadakshay Vishnu. So the same principle is there. Just you have to just see what they're talking about. When they say breathe in and all that, it means Mahavishnu. Okay. This verse describes Garbhodakshay Vishnu, the second phase of the Purusha incarnations of the Lord. The Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is glorified in the Purusha Shukta prayers, expands himself as the super soul to enter the heart of every living being. Through chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, even in this degraded age, one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord is a person as much as we are, but He is unlimited. Still a personal relationship exists between the tiny living entity and the unlimited Supreme Lord. Right? Even though we may seemingly be so different in quantity, because it's quality on which you base friendship. Okay? In consideration of this personal relationship, bhakti yoga is the only suitable process by which to come to the ultimate understanding of our constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.4.4. So that's it was by His mercy. So when we follow bhakti, we get His mercy, then we're able to take part. It's not because I'm such a great sadhaka and I'm so qualified and there I'm so intelligent, that's why I'm advancing in bhakti. No, you're following the process that's recommended, you please the Lord, then you advance. Because advancing technically doesn't mean you're advancing spiritually. They're two different things. Because if they weren't, then why can the karmis be so materially advanced technically, but not devotionally? Right? And then we see others, they're so advanced devotionally, but not necessarily technically, like Sudama Vipra. So the two are separate. They don't have anything to do with each other. Does that make sense? So it's just by the Lord's mercy. Adhikarana 9. Great powers of Brahman. Adhika Dikaranam. Sutra reference 2:1, 22-26. Adhikarana Prakashika. This Adhikarana certifies that the Supreme Lord is not a jiva, but the greatest living being. In fact, jivas have no power to create the universe, but are mere instruments of the Lord's will. So, something being manifest means because remember in the last Adhikarana, then the complaint was is that these things are being, they gave reference to the term jiva being used, and that's the cause of what's happening. But now let's say we're in a restaurant. Okay? Then we order a preparation. Right? Then that preparation comes to us. So, now from one way you can say it's the customers that create all this, you know, what's being manifest. But at the same time in reality, if we want to look at it, you know, technically, are they the ones that manifest it? No, the cook does. And why is that? Because of the restaurant. Right, so we want the modes of nature under the, you know, Maya under the direction of Krishna. Does that make sense? But you have that aspect of why will something be manifest at that time? Because there is a living entity interested in that. And if there's no living entities interested in that, it won't manifest. I was just thinking of an absurd example of just like, let's say you have rock music. Now, if you played that for the Neanderthal, they may not appreciate. But then it struck me as that probably if they did do music, they would beat on rocks or beat rocks together. So they probably have the original rock music. So then that analogy wouldn't work. But right? We get the idea, though. So it's only because there's living entity interested, that's why it happens. And when there's not, that's why it changes. So it's just a matter of what's being ordered. You have 8,400,000 options on the menu. And then whatever you pick, if you qualify, that's what you get. Just like, okay, you want that certain thing on the menu, but, you know, do you qualify for that? One, can you get into that restaurant? You know, did you book 6 years ahead? You know, like that. And then do you have the money? Because if you don't have a gold or platinum card, don't even bother. Is that, yeah.
So Maharaj, we can say that we have 8,000,000 choice plus one spirit.
Yes. Means you have reality or illusion. And in illusion, then there's a wide array.
Yes.
And in the spiritual, we surrender to Krishna, we have a natural position. It's because we've given it up that there's so much available. If you do what you're supposed to do, then you have one particular thing. But if you throw that out, then, you know, how you say, the sky's the limit. You know, you could do anything. Yeah, you know, you just have that freedom, you feel, yes. That's the taste that's there. I could do anything. You can, but, you know, there's the feeling. You're bound by your condition.
Maharaj, actually, to choose spiritual life, it is the same that to say no to the material consciousness.
Yes.
We need to work together.
Yeah, that's why always remember, never forget. Yes. The two go together. So that means if you're Krishna conscious, you've already given up the material.
Yes.
But to give up the material, you have to accept Krishna consciousness, because giving it up without accepting is not really giving it up.
Yes.
You may be inactive, you may not interact, but it's that you're still the same.
Okay.
You'll be back.
But the two options, the two situations, we need to work for that.
Yes, because the point is it's a choice. So the choice means there actually has to be an endeavor. Okay. So, but you make the endeavor, and then it's very great. You make the material choice, then depending upon your karma, then you'll get results. But on the spiritual choice, then it just is Krishna's mercy. So the results on the spiritual are much greater. You know, because we're not so tuned into spiritual, we don't understand actually how much is there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, way up here. Though it can be argued that Jiva is also a creator, he has no independence in his creative activities, just as a cow has no independence in producing milk. Hence, the Supreme Lord is the unseen efficient cause of the material world. That's the whole point. He's the unseen efficient cause. Right? He's the original cause, he's the efficient cause. We can be instruments in that. That's our only option that we ever have, is being an instrument. Right? So it's just a matter, do we want to be an instrument in the material or an instrument in the spiritual? But it's not, I can be a doer in the material, but I have to be an instrument in the spiritual. No, you're also an instrument here. Because it's already going on, all these activities are there, the potencies are there. By we surrender to that aspect, we follow it properly, the laws, then we may get the results in that area. But it's already going on.
When we say unseen efficient pool, can we say that to be in goodness means to see things as they are?
Yes.
Means
to be in goodness, you see things as they are, but to be able to see the Lord, it has to be pure goodness. Because goodness still is affected by the modes. Because within goodness, you still are looking for your material benefits. Though you're willing to follow authority, follow the law, be, you know, sense, you know, in other words, follow it with all good qualities. You know. Is it like that? But the point is, this, it's still not the position of the soul. So that's why that's pure goodness.
Right? Is it that he makes himself unseen because he doesn't like to be bothered by the nonsense jiva?
No, it's a matter of, the point is that he's there in the heart of every nonsense jiva, so he sees what's going on anyway.
Still, he remains unseen.
He remains unseen because you're not interested to interact with him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, just like, let's say you have that, what do you call it? There's that theme of, you know, the son of the rich man, but he wants to make it on his own. And so, but the father is, you know, making arrangements. You know, he hears that he wants to do this, so he calls his people, and then he gets the position, or, you know, he just makes arrangements unseen because of his affection. But the son thinks he's doing everything. Okay? Now here comes the point. Now at some point, then it comes up that we come to know that the Father's making all the arrangements and God's making all the arrangements. Now, in this, what are also the two stereotypical reactions? One is, you know, all this, it's all a lie, why don't you leave me alone, this, that, I want to do it myself. But he can't. Right? The other one is then that gratefulness, and then he reestablishes the relationship with the Father. So that's what we have. That's how it's going on. So Krishna, we were saying, why does Krishna, if he loves us, we're the one that doesn't love us. We're saying, why would Krishna do this to us? No, it's that, why do we do this to us? You know what I'm saying? You know, God's not the one that ordered the grilled Limburger cheese sandwich with onion and garlic. We ordered it. And then when we suffer, then why does God allow this? Yeah, then, you know, just God can make you without a mouth, then you can't order that. You can't eat it, even if you did order it. You know, I mean, what is he supposed to do? So that's the whole point, is that we do something stupid, and then we complain. Why did God let this happen? But if it had worked out the way you'd want, you'd be very happy with it. But the point is that doesn't work. So it sounded great, but that makes sense.
We are foolish.
Yeah, we are foolish. Yeah. Yes, I say. I have to say amen to that one. Okay, the Lord, the Supreme, is the unseen efficient cause of the material world. This point is proven by the Sutrakar later in Vedanta Sutra 2.3.39. Paratu touch trutehe. That the jiva's ability as an agent arises from the Supreme Lord. Hence the jiva's doership is dependent on the independent Lord. So the jiva, to feel that they are the doer, is still dependent upon the Lord as the efficient cause, or the unseen. Because otherwise, we can't do it, so he has to do it. And if he does it so we can see it, we'll get upset because we want to do it ourselves. So therefore, he's unseen. That's why he can't see it. But if we want to know him, we want to, you know, actually develop that relationship, then he makes all arrangements. Otherwise, how did you come in contact with the devotees? Seeing that the example is given in the Shastra that the likelihood of the living entity coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master is like the analogy is if you have a vast ocean. Somewhere in this ocean, there is a turtle, and it could be anywhere on this ocean, on the bottom. And floating on top of this ocean, there's a piece of driftwood. And this driftwood happens to have a hole in it. And it could be floating anywhere, you know, in all the directions, you know, in all eight directions on top of the water. So the likelihood of the jiva in the material world meeting a bona fide spiritual master is the likelihood of that turtle, when it's time to breathe, coming up to the surface and poking its head through the hole in that piece of wood. That is the likelihood. So how do we come in contact? Because Krishna arranges. That's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains. When the living entity has that sincere, actually, desire to know what's the real thing, then Krishna arranges they come in contact with the bona fide devotees. But you want to know, but not sincerely, then, you know, so many not so bona fide gurus are there. You know, depending on what you want.
Open their heads.
Yes, yeah. But like that, you know, like that, there's so many. But whatever. So the point is it's by Krishna's arrangement alone. So it's a rarity. You know, does that make sense?
In any way, this is mentioned, as I heard many times.
Somewhere in Shastra. Just like there's that unlimited ocean, it's somewhere. Okay. Unlike the Supreme Lord, the jiva is indivisible. Thus, a living entity cannot independently expand himself into plenary portions. Right? The Supreme Lord can, because he's unlimited. But, you know, when you're limited, you can't really do that. You don't have the potency to do that. Therefore, his expansions or offsprings are creations of the material energy. So it's not our expansion, it's just the material energy. So just like our body is created in material energy, so then all the bodies of anybody expanding from us,
yes,
children, family, community, everything like that, that's all from the material energy. The Sutrakar in his future work explains in Vedanta Sutra 3, 2, 11 through 12. Na stanatopi parasyo bhaya lingam sarvatrahi and na bedad iti chenna pratyekam atad vachanat. That the Supreme Lord, although one, divides himself into multiple forms in multiple places by executing his inconceivable energy. The Shruti states that there is no discrimination between the forms of the Lord since they are all one with him. Right? But for us, the expansions aren't one with us. They're just material energy. Like that. So that's the difference. So it can't mean jiva, because a jiva can't do anything like that. So therefore, when we see that terms, we're talking about jiva, and the description fits the conditioned soul, right, or the jiva tattva, then we apply it there. But if we say the term jiva is used, but the definitions being explained fit the Supreme Lord, then we know it means the Supreme Lord. Because then the acharyas before, I don't remember it, they gave a translation of jiva that's in the context that it can apply to the Lord. Do you remember that? Yeah, I remember it was there, but I can't remember the context. Because it has many meanings, jiva. But generally we mean it, it means this, you know, the soul. But it can also mean the Supreme Soul. Depending on the context you're looking. So that's then how they explain is how you have to understand the verse. So that's why then we'll always come up with the same conclusion. While these other groups, they'll come up with various conclusions, because if jiva is the one doing that, creating and controlling, and I want to create and control, therefore then I'm going to interpret that jiva means me. Right? So that's the whole point. Now maybe I am not, as obvious I'm not at that point now, but by way some kind of sadhana or knowledge I can get to that, then people are enthused. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just like you're going to get however much your karma says. Right? You're not going to get one paisa more. Right? So then the point is then, but why are all these self-help books so popular? Because by that, possibly, I could become, you know, super wealthy. I could become that billionaire. Right? But that's not how it works. You have the karma, it will. You don't have the karma, it won't. Some people are just born that way. You know, the billionaire's son's a billionaire. He didn't do anything. Understand? So in the same way is that in these philosophies, they think, okay, I'm not God, but through some solder into that, I could become God. But the point is God's already God. How does that work? It's not a post. You know? So he says, that's just, this is a reality. Yeah. So that's why we see these come up, and that's why they don't give up so easily. Yes.
Maharaj, here, like, it's explained about the jiva's offspring, the way he creates, it's actually done by material energy. But actually the whole material world is designed in such a way that it seems that they also, the jiva also feels that he's doing the same thing as Supreme Lord. He's
creating. Yeah, but what's the advantage of that? What's its actual purpose? Would it be to take the jiva away from the Lord or towards the Lord? So then if you can do things that the Lord can do, then on a personal level, you know, with a personal relationship, then that will be a value. But if you think on the material that I can do what the Lord can do, then it will take you away from the Lord. Because that's just the natural position. But the point is it's the natural position to have common qualities. But we have to know the quantity is different. Like Krishna is expanding himself with the gopis. We don't see the gopis expanding themselves. Right? You understand? Not that they couldn't, but it's just, the point is that's not the discussion. The point is Krishna is expanding. He's doing all these wonderful things. You know, and the devotees are never thinking that on that platform they have to be the same as Krishna. Though they have the same qualities, and same, you know, that you have a common ground to interact on. But the quantity, that's never a point of trying to make it similar. Right? But we're trying to say is, oh, if I do this, then I can be the same quantity of the Lord. I can be unlimited when you can. So. Okay, summary of Adhikarana 9. Even Brahma creates the universe without effort and without benefit for himself, since it is said that he wills the creation into existence and then enters it. Footnote 33. It was previously established by the Sutrakar in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.24. Abhidyopade sach cha. Oh, 1.4. That Brahman is both the efficient and material cause. Because of teachings by the scriptures about his desire for creation and then entering into it. Right, so that's the whole point of this sutra, is that Brahman creates the universe without effort. He does it. We have to put in a lot of work. Right? You know, you never see us after you know, Krishna glances at the creation and that, and then he turns to Rama Devi and goes, wow, such tough work. You know, and I have to do this every 3/4 of a second. I mean, it's like, man. You know, it's like, yeah. Sutra 2.122. Adikam tu beda nir deshat. Adikam, greater than the jiva, tu, but, beda, difference, nir deshat, because of pointing out. Brahman has greater powers than the jiva, since the difference is stated in the scriptures. Thus, Brahman cannot be influenced by the world, though he creates it. Right? So, he's greater. The jiva is small. That's why they're influenced. The Lord is great. I mean, he's greater than what he's created. It's inferior to what is his internal potency. Why would he be interested in that? Does that make sense? Sutra Prakashika. Herein the Sutrakar. Herein the Sutrakar primarily speaks of the difference between the Jiva and Brahman. Previously in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.18, Anya Artha Tu Jaimini Prashna Vyakya Nabhyam Api Chaivam AK. It was verified that Jiva and Brahman are distinctly individuals since the Jiva emerges from prana. Also Vedanta Sutra 1.1.28, Pranas Tata Nugamat confirms that this prana is Brahman, since the process of appearance for the Jiva takes place from something apart from oneself. So that also then carries on from the previous point about prana, that all this comes from prana, because prana is Krishna. Brahman is prana. Then you have these pranas here, and then from them things come. So just like here you have an effect, and then that effect becomes the cause for other effects. Right? That was the previous point being made. Is in the same way. So Brahman is the original cause. So he's the original prana. Right? Since Brahman is characterized by greatness, this qualifies him not for not being tainted even the least by his creation. Right? Because if he's tainted, then he's not great. The universe, by his creation, the universe. Whereas the Jiva is tainted since the Jiva is minuscule. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the point, he's so small. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. The word tu indicates a refutation of the doubt. Brahman is much greater, adikam, than the Jiva because he possesses great powers. Why? Because the difference between them is stated in the scriptures. Veda nir deshat. Quote, though dwelling within the same tree, the Jiva, bewildered, laments because of not recognizing the Lord. When he sees the glorious Lord who is different, he gives up lamentation. Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.2. Okay, so the Jiva is in the tree with the super soul. But he as a bird is bewildered by the tree and the what's offered by the tree, while the super soul is not. Right, so when he turns his attention to the Lord, then he gives up lamentation. Right? Because you lament because whatever it is you want doesn't quite happen on the material platform. Right? But if we're interested in serving the Lord, that works. Maybe the secondary form that is expressed through may or may not work, but the point is the opportunity to be absorbed in Krishna and develop that affection for Krishna, that remains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? It seems that in that verse, it's a lot of... it's always connected to the scripture. It is true because the scripture says.
Yes, yes.
And even if it seems like you explained just now, it seems evident that there is a difference between God and the Jiva.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point here, it is because it is explained like that in the scripture.
Because Praman is always the first point. It means any point you want to make, like this, will be an aspect of the nature of the Jiva and the nature of the Lord, right? So Krishna, in this point, we're bringing out he's the greatest, so we'll be bringing out the Ishwara aspect.
Yes.
But at the same time as, that we're also talking about he's the Lord of all Shaktis. He's the source of unlimited energies.
Yeah.
So it's describing these aspects of the Lord. So these are Pramayas. But it has to be based on Praman, or the Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
And Shastra is Krishna's breathing.
Yes.
So therefore, it's still based on Krishna. But, for the interaction and pastimes, then this is how it manifests. So, if it's not based on scripture, it doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have any value. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's all. It's not that it has a meaning, even though it's not. It's that I value it, so it still has a meaning. No, if it's not based on scripture, it has no value. That's the second verse of the Chatur Shloki, that if the value is not connected to him, it has no meaning. Right? So when we say that there is something that we take as authoritative, though it's not based on scripture, the value of it, it's valuable for us. That's why we're using it. But unless that value is seen, that that value is Krishna, then what's the point? So it all comes back. You can see is that as we go, so much technical points is bringing us back to one point. Is that just surrender to Krishna? He's the Supreme Lord, we're not. You know? Does that make sense? And so then, as it's so, this is our real idea, what are we supposed to do? We're servants of Krishna, so therefore we serve Krishna in devotion. So this is what it's coming back to. Everything's there, but this is just getting to the fine points to root out all the problems that are there. That get in the way of us surrendering. This verse distinguishes the Lord as different from the jiva afflicted by lamentation and illusion, since the Lord has unrestricted powers. Right? So we're controlled by greater powers. So that shows we don't have, but Krishna is unlimited. How could any power control him? So that means even we say no, but we want to, you know, throw it into, you know, go out of the tattva, go into the rasa aspect, but that he's controlled by the love of his devotees, but he agrees to that. But it's not that any of his potencies can control him. It's that he agrees to that, and therefore he's controlled. Because we see in relationships, you could not interact, but you choose to interact. That's what makes it nice. You have to do it, okay, it's okay. You know, like the butler has to do everything nice. Does that make sense? He arranges, he brings the food, he does this, but if your mother brings it, that's because she wants to. Does that make sense? At least if you have a butler. Right? Does that make sense? Smritis also describe this. There are two conscious beings mentioned in the Vedas, the conditioned jivas and the liberated jivas. The bound jivas are all these living entities with destructible bodies. The liberated jivas are fixed with one form for all time. The highest person is different from this, right? So you have these two kinds of jivas, and then beyond that is the Supreme Person. Right? So everybody's a person, and then there's the Supreme Person. He is described in the scriptures as the Paramatma, who, by entering the three worlds, supports the living entities as the unchanging controller. Bhagavad Gita 15:16-17. Then, another quote, Pradana Purusha Vyakta Kalanam Paramam Hiyat Pashyanti Surayas Shudham Tad Vishno Paramam Padam. The wise see the pure, supreme abode of Vishnu, which is superior to Pradhan, the jiva, the universe, and time. Vishnu Purana 1:2:16. Then, O Brahmana, the surupa of Vishnu is different from time, from Pradhan and the jiva. That form which Pradhan and the jiva are joined and then separated is called time. And so, from different angles, they bring it out that he is superior to this. He's different from this. We're influenced by these, he's not.
In what sense Pradhan and Jiva join?
You're here. There's Jiva, which is the spiritual entity of the Chit Shakti, and then you have this material body made out of the 24 elements. So that's where you're combined with Pradhan. Because it's easier to say that form by which Pradhan and the Jiva are joined. Because right? Instead of that form by which, Krishna's unmanifest energy, after Krishna glances at it, then it becomes the avyakta, then he enters it again as the attractive feature, then it becomes mahatattva, and then that, from that, then is created all the varieties of whatever there is possibly that can be within the material creation as the primary creation, which then enters into the specific universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and expands all that, but that's all kept in the lotus, then the lotus coming out, Brahma coming on top of that, then he gaining that knowledge through his tapasya, then he creates what he creates, that body that we're and the jiva are joined and then separated is called time. So it's just easier to say Pradhan. right? Because then it's that we know all these, they all connect together. That's the whole point. When you understand the principle, you don't mind using any particular detail or the name attributed to it. But generally you would use the one that will, you know, be the most applicable. Right? Because whenever there is an expansion, then there's some specific uniqueness to it. Otherwise, what's the point of the expansion? And because of that uniqueness, then what situation that uniqueness applies to, that's the one name you use. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Seeing the definition of time through this particular day, it's much more easier to comprehend that how in the spiritual world this type of effective time is not there.
Yes, because we're not joined with the material energy. There is a concept of it, but it doesn't actually. It's not. It's eternal time. So nothing's controlled by time. Here, it's time makes it happen. There, it's Krishna, the yoga maya through, you know, the affection between the Lord and the devotees. That's what's controlling what's happening. So that's why things don't have to work within the normal time frame. Here, it's that you want to do something and having fun, it will only last X amount of time because that's all you have. But in the spiritual world, like Krishna's dancing with the gopis, one night becomes a night of Brahma. So there's no time. You know. But at the same time, there's the concept of time.
Most of the time it's confusing to many people because we generally use the word time for meaning many things. As soon as you remove the word, nothing exists, what it means.
Yeah, because there's no action. So therefore the activity. So you can see is that time feature is part of the, it must be part of the shakti. So it's either it's used for Krishna or not. Here it's not.
Maharaj, when you say there is a padan and jiva arguing, means it is a spiritual consciousness?
No, when pradana and jiva are joined means it's when the jiva enters into the material world and takes up a material identity and form and everything like that. Like that. That form by which pradana and the jiva are joined and then separated is called time. Right? By time, you are joined with this particular manifestation of pradana.
Yes.
Right? Then with time, that changes.
Yes. And if we are aware about that, means we don't feel the influence of time.
Then we're unaffected. Means our consciousness is unaffected. Doesn't mean that the pradana isn't, because time is part of the, you know, the how. Why is pradana even doing anything? Because time has entered. Right? So the manifestation of the material energy is always going to be coupled with time. And our connection with it is also going to be coupled with time. But it doesn't mean our consciousness has to be coupled with time.
Yes.
That's the... Yeah. This is the power of the Lord. Though he is situated in Prakriti, he is not affected by the gunas, which are situated in him. Just as the intelligence of the devotee remembering the Lord is not affected by the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.39. So, if you're remembering the Lord, you're not affected by the gunas. But if you're not remembering the Lord, then one is controlled by the gunas. Right? Controlled by time.
How do the gunas know?
How do they know?
I mean, I understand the Lord sits in the heart, but then Maya also sits there.
You have so many witnesses, so like that. The sun, the moon, the air, the earth.
It seems to be quite instant.
Ether. Yeah, it's good management. So you have some, if you want to compare to something, this is it. Simultaneous.
One more aspect in this is like if you don't connect to anything to the spiritual, you know, we have to wait till whatever Maya does. So far as it appears, that's the only thing happening. So whenever she does, that's what we can have, we are conscious of it.
Yeah, because that's our because we're connected to the material energy through time, so we see everything by time.
So it's not that she is doing. We are completely bound by her, so we feel that whatever she does, then we are only seeing through that. So.
Yeah. But here is saying that the connection that you're connected is through time.
Right.
So that's why, like you're saying, everything you judge by time. You know, how long will that take, or this is taking a long time, or why it's so quick, or you're having fun, and, you know, such a short time. You know, it's like if you're in class and you're waiting for the bell to ring. It's like, you know, each movement of the clock, second hand, you know, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. That's 2 seconds, right? And it just gets longer and longer. Then you start to hallucinate. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's how it is.
So this aspect of time is Lord Shiva.
He's more, it means it could be, but he's more the aspect of the ignorance. Because for Maya to work, there has to be ignorance. Not the modes. Modes are what's going to manage things to make it work. This is above that we think I'm the controller and the enjoyer. That's the ignorance. We don't know our relationship with the Lord as servant. So that's the avidya shakti. It's already functioning. Someone under the avidya shakti, they can take part in the material world. Otherwise, if you're not under avidya shakti, you come here, then, you know, the pure devotees, they just go around and deal as you know, how, you know, a Krishna conscious person would. You know, they know it's Krishna's energy, they work within the context of the energy. But they don't, they're not an illusion about it. They know everything's temporary, it's all by the Lord's grace, so then depending upon the Lord, then they perform their duties as they should to please Him. So we're given the opportunity to take up that position, but we generally have to become aware that it exists. That the Lord is not contaminated by the world has also been concluded in the Sutra 128. Thus, the Lord, endowed with great inconceivable shakti, creates the universe by His will alone. Thus the Lord, endowed with great inconceivable shakti, creates the universe by His will alone, and entering, plays there. And when it grows old, He withdraws it, just like a spider. He is not influenced by the faults of the world mentioned, because He's in control of it. Purvapaksha. The Lord is greater than the jiva, only in the sense of either being greater than the space in a pot. Only in the sense of the ether being greater than the space in a pot. Right, so they're trying to say is that, okay, you have this space in the pot, it's small, and then the ether, which is, you know, unlimited. So, technically, they're only, one is greater, one is lesser, only in this context. But otherwise, it's all ether, so they're all the same, right? So in other words, they want to say that the jiva and the Lord are the same. Uttara, that is not so. For it cannot be accepted that Brahman can be divided up like sky being divided by a pot. Right? Because then how is he unlimited if a portion would be taken off? Because then he's not that part, so he's not unlimited. Nor are Jiva and Brahman related like the reflection of the moon in water and the moon in the sky, since the all-pervading Lord does not have material form that can be reflected. Right, saying that actually we don't exist, it's just the original sun just being reflected in the water pot. You know, sun. Oh, moon and water. Okay? Because that's not the thing. So there's the moon in the sky and the moon reflected there, but actually there's only one moon, and so actually we're the moon. That's not how it works, because the point is he doesn't have a material form, so it can't be reflected.
But now we have the real sun distant than see to make that type of comparison.
Because we're energy, we're jivas. You know, so we're saying here is that, see, the whole problem comes, we think he's affected because we're affected. You can say, no, but we're doing things with the material energy and we're affected, but we're not in control. See, that's the whole thing that this is being brought out, is that Krishna's controlling it. So that your arm moves, you can scratch the top of your head, that's because Krishna's potency does that, but we think I'm doing that. So, and I'm affected by that, because we're controlled by it. We're in no way independent and controlling these energies. Right? While all these energies are being controlled by the Lord, that's why He's unaffected and we're affected. But we're trying to make it that us and Him are the same. So we put all His bad qualities on Him and all His good qualities on us. You know? It sounds fair, right? You know? Nor can the jiva be compared to a prince who did not know he was born as a son of a king and later finds out. For this is contrary to the Shruti statements concerning the Lord's omniscience, and it makes Brahman into a jiva under illusion. Right? So it's not that. So these are the different things to how they'll try to compare how we are the same. The ether in the pot, the reflection of the moon in the water, or here the prince, we're all, we're all Brahman, but we don't know we're Brahman, and then we find out later, and then we become Brahman. No, it's not, still not going to happen.
Yeah. So these very same examples are used in the Shastras to find out, to mention the similarity between Jiva and the Lord in some other context.
Yes, because you're showing that it's there, because in the first one, is that it's ether in the pot, so that means by quality we're the same, but in quantity we're not.
Yes.
But then they take it to try to put it on that unlimited. It doesn't work that way. That we are Brahman. No, we're part of Brahman, but we're infinitesimal. But they use it to try to say we are fully Brahman in quantity. Yes. We're just saying we're in quality. Yeah, and then the reflection, it's also quality. Right? Or the prince, it's because that's our position. But what are we supposed to do? Now when he finds out, then is he supposed to become the king, or is he supposed to develop his relationship with the king? Right? Because then the prince thinks, then we become the king. What happened to the previous king? Did he merge into us? We merged into him? What happened? Does that make sense? So there is being used to show that, we're the same quality, the same, how you say, the same position, that eternal position, individuals, then we have the same qualities and all that, and then we have the relationship. So it's all in Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayoja, these examples.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Shastra's giving these from these different aspects, but they're meant for our relationship with the Lord. So, but unfortunately, they try to use them not for this. That's the problem. Because they have that thing, I want to be God. That's why, like the question the other day was, why would they do this? Because they want to be God. That's the, that he thinks it's so weird. That's a good thing. Because, he can't understand why someone would be materialistic. So, he's so nicely situated in devotional services. Why would anyone do anything else? So, it's good. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 6, 15, and 17. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. As time, you regulate the subtle and manifest states of material nature and control every living being. Right? So the gross body, the subtle body, the metaphysical aspects, he controls all that. As the threefold wheel of time, you diminish all things by your imperceptible actions, right? So everything becomes reduced. And thus, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Lord, you are the supreme creator of this universe and the ultimate controller of all moving and non-moving living entities. You are Hrishikesha, the supreme controller of all sensory activity. And thus, you never become contaminated or entangled in the course of your supervision of the infinite sensory activities within the material creation. Right? So he's controlling it, he doesn't become controlled by it. we say we're controlling it, but we're controlled by it.
Yes.
Right? The sense goes to the sense object, we're controlled by that. He's controlling it, so he's not controlled by it. On the other hand, other living entities, even yogis and philosophers, are disturbed and to be continued. Didn't think we'd get that far.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. China Thakur Prabhupada. I mean, there's only another 30 seconds, so don't worry. We might have finished the sentence, but that's it.
But now I can be prepared to ask questions.
Oh, okay. Just to continue it out. Yes, yeah, see, going through more.